One, the National Energy Regulator of South Africa, that's NERSA, approving three generation licenses for floating powership provider, Kapowership SA. The decision was taken at that special meeting of the energy regulator today. What exactly does this mean for generation capacity in South Africa and the power generation? Does it create a sense of stability? Chris Yelland, energy analyst, as well as the MD at EE Business Intelligence, joins us now. Chris, thank you so much for the time. We've certainly looked for many ways to try and get power generation into the country. Does this help?
Well, it's not a done deal, and there are still many issues to be dealt with. So although NERSA gave a generation license for each of the three powership projects, there's still a lot of issues. So just to run through the issues that are outstanding that need to be dealt with. Firstly, another regulator, that is the Department of Forestry, Fisheries and Environment, have denied environmental authorization for these projects. So whilst they may have a generation license, they still can't generate until this question of the environmental authorization has been dealt with and until they receive such authorization from that regulator. There's also no fuel supply agreement in place. Okay, that might take a bit of time still to put in place. There is no fuel pipeline license. Now, NERSA, a different division of NERSA, issues fuel pipeline licenses, and they haven't got that yet. There's no port authorization yet from the ports regulator. Eskom hasn't agreed to a power purchase agreement yet. And lastly, there's a legal challenge by DNG Energy that is underway, and it's only going to be heard in early December 2021. And the outcome of that could put a stop to this whole project. So a lot of water still to flow under the bridge, a generation license in hand, but that certainly does not mean that the project will go ahead. As you can see from previous IPP projects, like a coal IPP project several years ago, they were given, they awarded the contract, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But they never achieved financial closure and they have been abandoned.
Why aren't we keen on having something like this happen? I mean, what is wrong with the way Kapowership is hoping to provide power for South Africa?
Look, some people are keen. The Department of Mineral Resources and Energy appear very keen to enter into 20-year emergency power producing agreements with a floating powership that would come in from Turkey fully assembled, no local manufacture, no local content. The fuel is fully imported. It can be delivered quickly, but there are some serious risks. So, for example, the fuel price is like petrol. It's in US dollars, and it's subject to the vagaries of the market. And in general, being a non-renewable source, the price is likely to go up. Secondly, the rate of exchange between the US dollar and the rand, because the price of LNG is in dollars and it's imported fully, and the rate of exchange impacts on the price, exactly like petrol. It's simple. When we import oil, we're subject to the same. And we can see what happened to the price of oil over the years. Now, the fuel price, the fuel component of the tariff amounts to about 60% of the price. So a lot of the price is subject to variation depending on the rate of exchange, the LNG price, and as well as the carbon price, which is likely to go up very significantly in future years. So that's the upside risk on the tariff. There are issues about the environment. There's issues about why rent a solution for 20 years. You know, you don't rent a car for 20 years. You buy your own car.
Yeah.
You service it. You maintain it. Why rent a power plant for 20 years when you can build your own?
Yeah, I suppose there needs to be some way to sort of look into this, even if on a shorter term basis somewhat, right? Now, while they have approved those generation licenses for Saldanha Bay, Kuga, as well as Richards Bay too, they have the other energy producers, they've approved rather the generating licenses for four other energy producers under the scheme. Do you think that kind of gives a sense of surely this must offer some sort of positivity? I mean, NERSA has said they haven't released their full reasoning, but once they do that, do you think that the likes of the Department of Forestry, Fisheries and Environment will look at this and say maybe there is some benefit, or do you think that they'll stand firm on their word on this one?
Look, when it comes to the power ships, the issue of environmental compliance is completely separate from the issues of a generation license. They are two different regulators. There's another regulator that I mentioned, that is the Ports Authority. And that is, again, a completely different topic. Sure. So it's not a case of if you get a generation license, then you're going to get environmental approval. They are two completely separate issues indeed. And the other thing just to mention, you talked about the non-car power ship projects. These are four projects involving a mixture of wind and solar and battery energy storage. Those are also facing a legal challenge on the 28th of this month. An unsuccessful bidder has applied to the courts for an urgent interdict to stop the financial closure of these projects, pending a judicial review of some decisions by the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition in terms of local content. And so a lot hangs in the balance for the non-car powership project as well, the balance being dependent on the outcome of this application for an urgent interdict, which is going to be heard on the 28th of this month.
Yeah, Chris, we're headed towards COP26, right? So climate change becomes this big issue that we're certainly going to focus on. Eskom has said that they're looking to reduce their carbon emissions, and COP26 itself is going to be quite stringent on us because we're the biggest emitter of greenhouse gases on the continent, right? Surely this is a way to kind of fast track that new energy production in a different way, to, you know, release and drop the carbon emissions and gas emissions of our country, right?
Well, look, gas is often cited as a cleaner technology than coal. But when it comes to carbon dioxide emissions or carbon emissions, what is known as CO2 equivalent emissions, gas to power can in fact be somewhat worse than coal in terms of carbon emissions. And the reason for that is that LNG is essentially methane gas. Now, methane gas has a carbon dioxide equivalent. It is something like 75 times more potent as a greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide. And LNG, there is a certain amount of leakage that takes place between the extraction of this methane gas out of the ground through to the liquefaction process, the transportation process, finally getting it to the power ships themselves. The leakage of methane gas is a major problem, and if you look at the sum of the leakages of methane plus the CO2 that is emitted from burning this LNG, the sum of the two can be greater than the CO2 or carbon dioxide emissions of coal. So it's really not true to say that gas to power is a low carbon emission technology.
Sure. So then what does this mean then? Are we sort of years away from finding the right mixture for what South Africa needs when it comes to power production in a different energy mix?
Yeah. So look, my personal view is that when it comes to new generation capacity, the solution lies in a blend of wind plus solar PV plus flexible generation capacity, which can come in a number of forms, including pumped water storage. And South Africa has got quite good energy storage capacity at the moment in pumped storage. Also battery storage, an emerging technology. South Africa is set to become the sixth biggest global market for battery energy storage for utility scale applications. So it's part of the plan and the integrated resource plan for electricity. There are other technologies for energy storage, including, for example, a gas to power, because gas is a means of long-term storage of energy and performs a useful balancing mechanism to fill the gaps between the variability of wind and solar. So some people believe that gas is a short-term solution, while the other technologies become more competitive. But, you know, already battery energy storage is becoming very, very competitive. And if you look at what's happening around the world, battery energy storage is really taking center stage at the moment.
We're going to need clear policy direction. That is one of the elements that I'm getting out of this, that we're going to have to try and find the right way to move forward and stick to it. No matter what it is, I suppose, at that time, yes, be flexible in how perhaps we move it forward, but also know the dangers and the positivity that comes out of all of these energy mixes that we're trying to get right as we move away from coal as much as possible. The largest emitter of gas emissions, that's the state of South Africa. A new energy mix is necessary. Kapowership now getting that National Energy Regulator approval for 3-generation licenses for floating power ships. Chris Yelland, energy analyst at EE Business Intelligence.